We're very privileged to be with you. You're eavesdropping a bit on our life. It's been ups and downs. We've not got everything straight or sorted out, but we want just to share a little bit about the way that God has led us. I would say we're ordinary people having the privilege to be involved in extraordinary things. And nothing that that we're going to say today isn't something which you all could be doing. And in fact, many of you already are. Many years ago, I went to India with Norman Barnes. Some of you will know Norman Barnes. And I guess that changed my life, really, in terms of, well, Norman Barnes changes anybody's life, but actually going to India. And it's interesting now, if I were to get off a plane in India, I just feel I'm at home. It's just I can't explain that. It's just an amazing thing that I just get off a plane. But it really sort of set in me and then in us that sort of international context. So we really feel a call to the nations. That's very grand. It's in our own little small way, but a sense of a call to the nations. So mainly our serving the community has been in that international context. And one of the things that God has taught us is to be alive to and look for connections. You know, every day in life there are connections that come up. Some you don't pursue, but some you do. And I'm always saying to God, is this a connection that I need to follow up? And we have been trying to follow up connections when it's come to overseas mission and ultimately to go. We're going to talk about just two examples of the things that we've been involved with. You probably see from the flags. Anybody know what the flag on the left is? South Africa. And the flag on the right? Mexico. Well done. Excellent. Yeah. So this is just two examples of us reaching out into these two countries. So Cape Town. Well, I guess someone has to go. It's a bit of a tough call, really, Cape Town, isn't it? It's a Cape Town. We have divided this into sort of four parts, really, which is the connection, the community, the church, and the challenge. And Cape Town was something which increasingly came on our heart. And if we could go to the next slide, the connection. If you look in the background, there's Table Mountain. Amazing. But the couple there are Andy and Sue Horn. Andy was involved with Pioneer and DNA many years ago, and Sue actually worked in the same company as I did. And we followed their journey, which was a calling to South Africa in particular, but they also to work with a church in Cape Town and have been there for many, many years. We increasingly went on a number of different occasions and developed a relationship with that church in Cape Town. Perhaps we could have the next slide. Now, Cape Town is an incredible contrasting place. There's the townships, there's the slums, and then, of course, there's the beautiful sea that everybody goes to. One of the things that we didn't really understand about Cape Town is that we talk about the black people, we talk about white people, but actually there was a group in the middle called the Coloureds, the Cape Coloureds, and they are unbelievably marginalised. They were never white enough when apartheid was running, and now they're not black enough, now that essentially a black government is in control. And they have been consistently marginalised. They are of mixed race. Some of them can trace their times back to the First Nations, some of them to the places where the East India Company, to the Malays, and a whole combination of mixed race. But they are an amazing company, a group of people who live in the Western Cape. Their cry has often been, I'm not black, I'm coloured. Now, sometimes in the UK, if you were to use coloured, that's actually not a great word to use at all. In fact, we're encouraged not to do so. But actually, they're very proud of the fact that they are Cape coloured people. However, they have had a really tough time, and most of the young people have no employment, no jobs, and most of them then got into gangs with drugs, prostitution, etc. And it was into that environment that where Liz and I sort of pitched up, really. So the community, this is called Bridgetown in Cape Town. It's home to many, many of the Cape Coloureds. And most of these people, particularly young people, are in gangs. Gangs like the American Boys, which effectively ran prostitution, ran drugs, was involved in killings and gang warfare. And this is part of their lifestyle. And then God intervened. What an amazing story. God then intervened. If we could go on to the next slide. So this is now Cape Town Christian Fellowship, led by a guy who came from the gangs, Roger Peterson. And so his testimony was that God can change lives. And slowly but slowly, some amazing things happened with these gang guys. They started to come to this area, to this center, and God just transformed them. These were guys that were involved in the drugs. Certainly two or three of them, you know, have killed people and utterly transformed their lives. And this is Impact Direct is a part of their ministry, particularly into the local community. When we went there this time, we were expecting to, well, we were looking to see whether God wanted us to live in South Africa and then to work into Africa from there. It didn't quite work out like that. Where's Colin? Yeah. When we shared this with Colin, he didn't tell me until after we'd made our mind up one way or the other, he cried. So whether he was a part of the door that changed that. But in fact, we didn't in the end go out and live in South Africa. But we did. We went there for 3 months and just said, God, what do you want us to do now that we're here in South Africa? And, well, I'll let Liz tell you that.
What did this church do with all these gang members that suddenly were turning up? We read kind of in James where it says it's no good just saying Jesus loves you and leave you hungry. But this was, as our reading this morning, a group of people that are the least of these my people. They had no education, they had no standing, they were unemployable. What were they going to do? So the pastor's son-in-law is a very entrepreneurial guy, set up R Labs. R Labs is stands for Reconstructing Communities. And they took this first group of gang members into this building, which they had prepared for them, and taught them technology, taught them how to use computers, taught them social media. They became very good at that, and they ended up becoming teachers themselves. And they would advertise for these different groups to come into our labs to learn different computer skills. That was okay for a while, but it wasn't really sustainable. You can't encourage everyone to be a teacher, to teach more. There's got to be something much wider. So Marlon, this pastor's son-in-law, had this great vision. Let's put these first group through their matriculation, which in South Africa is like your A-levels. It's your school leaving certificate, without which you go nowhere in South Africa. Now, you have to understand that in South Africa, it takes the school kids 2 years, as it does here for doing A-levels, 2 years to do a matriculation. He decided he was going to do it in 3 months, just as we turn up. Now, as on, with all entrepreneurs, he knew what he wanted, but he didn't know how to achieve it. So, hence, he's handed that over to us and said, yeah, you can do it. Just get these 12 people, who range from about 18 to about 45, through their matric in 3 months. Easy. Not when you've got people who are borderline illiterate, dropped out of school probably about the age of 8, totally uneducated, have not got a clue how to study, how to learn. So we were left with this challenge. How are we going to get these 12 people through their matric? So I thought, well, I'll contact the exam board and ask them kind of what they suggest. And it's got to be one of those God opportunities where the examiner just said to me, read my lips. We are changing the syllabus next year. We are not going to waste time writing new questions about the old syllabus. I say no more. So we went off, we printed off about the last 6 years' worth of exam papers for six subjects and just worked our way through them in 3 months. Now, we did refuse to teach Afrikaans. That was kind of a step too far. They got somebody else in to do that. But we did the other five. So we took these 12 guys, 3 months, through these papers in six subjects, and all bar two got all six subjects, and the other two just dropped one, which they've subsequently resat. Yeah. Now, that opens huge opportunities for them now in employment, in education, in being able to actually progress with their lives. And we're going to watch a video clip just of the story of two of those 12 that were on that initial matric class. So Suzanne on that program now is... she runs a youth cafe in one of the shopping malls near where the centre is. She runs courses for the young people and activities for them. She's moved out of the shack that she was in, and she now has her own home. And she's looking still to become a businesswoman. That's her dream. Angelo is now in his second year, I think, maybe third year now, of a social worker's degree. From somebody who had dropped out of school at year six, I think he was, is now at university studying to be a social worker. So two amazing stories. Two others that we know, one of them has got his own photography business and is doing very well with that. He teaches photography plus... doing other photographic jobs that he gets. And another one has qualified to be a tour guide in South Africa, in Cape Town, the only one that actually does a gangland tour as part of the offer. And it's an amazing tour because he was one of the gang leaders. We don't know how many people he killed, but we know he did. And he takes people around. He shows them the different tags that the gangs would put in on their different buildings. And it's just an amazing tour. And he gives his story, his testimony of how he moved from that to what he's doing now. So, and our lads is now in 22 countries. It has just exploded into other countries, working with those least of these, my people, in many other countries. So it's... really kind of found something that works for those marginalised people. So as we've got up here, we're moving swiftly to another continent, seamlessly, as they would say. And what was our contact with Mexico? You might recognise at least one person there. I can't see her face, the one in red. Alejandra Cirillo in Maidenhead Church. This is... actually in Mexico in November at the wedding of Karina and Johnny, who are also part of Maidenhead Church. In Maidenhead, we've had at least 7 or 8 Mexicans as part of our congregation. And all of them would come up to us and say, it's time River Church went to Mexico. And we thought about it for a while and then decided, yes, it is time that River Church made the connection with Mexico. And we're going to start in one of the towns where Karina comes from, Karina the bride in the picture. She comes from a town called Metepec, which is northwest of Mexico City. She was actually a Christian before she came to Maidenhead. She was part of a church there. And she was very keen for us to make contact with her church, her pastor, and her family. So this is the name of the church, Jesu-enti, or quite easy to really work out what that says, which is Jesus in you. And Eduardo and Ines are the pastors of that church. They're actually Argentinian, and God spoke to them about going to Mexico City and working with the poor. And this is the church that we have connected with in Metepec, a church that are working into the poorest communities in their neighbourhood. And this is the kind of housing that some of the people are living in illegally. The land doesn't belong to them. They are just squatting on this land, and you can see the conditions that they're living in. Very, very poor, very basic. And the church there, Jesus in You, are working with this community, providing them with food, with clothing, with basic needs, just as we had in that reading this morning. They have very little themselves, yet they are giving what they can into this community.
We went to this church, and they asked, "Well, Ian, well, you're the visitor, you're speaking, you know." I think, that's not quite my scene to do the speaking. I thought, it's very interesting to go to a church and say, sorry, so what are you going to say? I mean, you don't know this church. You know, it's very presumptuous to go and sort of think, well, I've got God's word for you. And in the end, I just felt I wanted to share about River. And it just took off. We just talked about the fact that, you know, that river, where the river flows, there's life. And then we talked about this sort of thing, the look, the love, and the live. And it just transformed them. You know, we talked a bit about the fact that, you know, getting into the river, you can just put your feet in, but you're in control. And then ultimately, of course, you're swimming. And in that sense, you're now within the flow of the river. And where the river takes you is where you're going to go. And this Argentinian evangelist is like, on fire, going for it. And he's preaching the river word, I'm thinking. I spoke for about 20 minutes, and then he decided he needed a half an hour to explain what I'd been saying. But he just took river, you know. And so we feel a real strong connection with this church. And we're just wondering whether, in fact, that might develop into something which is both us in River here, across the four churches, and that community. But they are an incredible needy place, and are really looking for support and input. We were able to give them money that we'd raised by doing a special event, and that transformed. And they actually were in need of rent that particular month, no money for rent, and that went well towards that. So, but then we moved on to Mexico City.
Okay, the connection with Mexico City is a bit convoluted, but I'll try and explain. And it started with Alejandra, and I don't know how many knew her sister as well that was in Maidenhead Church, Rosalia. Rosalia moved to the States, and the church she was in had a mission outreach to Mexico City, which is where Alejandra and Rosalia came from. So that's the kind of connection we have with Mexico City. So we went there, we stayed with Alejandra's mother, and we went into the city. Now, we said at the beginning that our title we used was Mission Serving the Community. The community in Mexico City is dark. It is a place of human trafficking. That is a big issue in Mexico City. And it's the trafficking of people, either from Mexico into America, from South America through Mexico into America, or anywhere else in the world through Mexico into America. This is probably kind of makes you understand why Trump wants to build a wall, because the human trafficking through Mexico into America is huge. And so the church that we connected with in Mexico City, another interesting story, there was a Korean couple who felt God say they had to go to Mexico City to plant church. There was an American couple from the church Rosalie is at who heard God say, go to Mexico City and work on justice. When they got there, they met up and they swapped visions. The American couple are now planting church in Mexico City. The Korean couple are working with these girls who have been trafficked in Mexico City. And I think it's easier if we just watch the video of Benny telling us what work they do.
So, Where do we say in all of that? Just to sort of sum up, you know, the need is massive across the world, isn't it? And sometimes you look at that and you think, well, what do I do? Can I in any way make an impact and change that? But actually, you can change one and then another. And both in South Africa and in Mexico, the entrance into actually reaching their need has produced that many, many, many of them give their lives to Jesus. In South Africa, they're absolutely fearless, these guys, you know, because they've come out of gangs, etc. I mean, they just do things for Jesus and for God that most people think, hang on a minute. But, you know, they're fearless, absolutely switched on. And some of the girls in the safe house that are the minors, under 18, I mean, Jesus just transformed their lives. They go to church and they'll talk to the lady who's their housekeeper and say, can you see the angels just standing on the stage? You know, amazing. Whoa. So reaching these people, touching their needs, actually is an incredible entrance to transform their lives. And we just had the privilege of perhaps changing one or two. And I guess the question is, so what's the call for you? You know, ours has been more overseas, but actually the question really is so to boldly go. Which doors is God opening to you? It might be overseas, it might be in the UK, it might actually be into Marlow. But the question is, are you prepared to boldly go? Are you prepared to hear what God's saying, to take that connection and actually to boldly go? So our challenge to you, you're exactly the same as us, just ordinary people. But what is calling you, what is God calling you to go into and to go in boldly? Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you, guys.